Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. There are a few announcements that I would like to share with you before we begin our worship time today. This morning, we will be collecting a special offering for hurricane relief from Hurricane Sandy. Bishop Webb has asked that we give our monies towards the New Jersey annual conference where the hurricane hit very, very hard and many, many churches were affected as well as many people. So our monies given this morning will go towards direct relief there. We'll also be beginning a new Bible study this afternoon and Thursday morning. It's called Christmas Gift That Won't Break, and we'd love to have you join us, and all are welcome.
We will begin our worship with song today.
Thank you. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I have made.
To you, Lord, we lift our souls. In you, O God, we trust.
The one who is coming will show us the way of steadfast love and faithfulness.
Teach us your ways, O God, our salvation.
We light this candle in the sure hope that God's promises endure.
We will live in light and ray of hope as we await the coming of the Lord.
Raise our voices in prayer together. Surround us with your holy quiet, Emmanuel. In this time of worship, assure us of your presence and pour your spirit upon us. Inspire within us a hope to greet the dawn each new day as Christ draws ever closer to us. Make our hearts ready for the brightness of your glory and the fullness of your blessing. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Morning. Our Old Testament reading today is from Jeremiah 33, verses 14 through 16. The Lord said, I made a wonderful promise to Israel and Judah, and the days are coming when I will keep it. I promise that the time will come when I will appoint a king from the family of David, a king who will be honest and rule with justice. In those days, Judah will be safe, Jerusalem will have peace, and will be named the Lord Gives Justice. The gospel reading is from Luke 21, verses 25 through 36. Strange things will happen to the sun, moon, and stars. The nations on earth will be afraid of the roaring seas and tides, and they won't know what to do. People will be so frightened that they will faint because of what is happening to the world. Every power in the sky will be shaken. Then the Son of Man will be seen coming in a cloud with great power and glory. When all of this starts happening, stand up straight and be brave. You will soon be set free. Then Jesus told them a story. When you see a fig tree or any other tree putting out leaves, you know that summer will soon come. So when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom will soon be here. You can be sure that some of the people of this generation will still be alive when all of this takes place. The sky and the earth won't last forever, but my words will. Don't spend all of your time thinking about eating or drinking or worrying about life. If you do, the final day will suddenly catch you like a trap. That day will surprise everyone on earth. Watch out and keep praying that you can escape all that is going to happen, and that the Son of Man will be pleased with you.
Would our children like to come forward? Well, hello, everyone, and I think that we have a special guest here today.
Most of you weren't here last week. I had a couple fellows, John Fredericks and Bob House, bring forward this milk can, which we're going to use for Pennies for the Pantry this year. The reason I'm using a milk can this year is because when I grew up on the farm, that's what we used to put our milk in to send it to the dairy, and it was a lot of work. And my point last week was that it's a lot easier nowadays to get food, but still some people go hungry. So that is what our Pennies for the Pantry helps, those people who go hungry. So I'm going to have you go around and collect money from people, and we'll put it in the milk can, and we'll see how full we can get that this year. So if you will go out right now and see if anybody has any money they'd like to put in it, and then I'm going to tell you a little story. Well, thank you for doing that. Okay, who knows what this is? It's made out of plywood. That's a sheep or lamb. Do you have any idea where it's from? Kind of. This was actually from that old nativity that we used to put out every year. Well, the Pope is writing a book. It's all about the birth of Jesus. According to the Pope, we're wrong to believe that there were animals at the manger.
Why?
What he says is that we don't know for sure that there were, because the Bible doesn't mention it. Nowhere in the Gospel are animals mentioned at the birth of Christ. And I have to admit, I've never thought about that before. Were there animals present when Jesus was born? Because we always kind of think that there is.
Because it was a stable.
Mm-hmm. Because it was in a stable, in the home of animals. Well, last week I talked a little bit about growing up in a dairy farm and how our milk was picked up. And I think back to something that I remember from my childhood that makes me pretty sure that there were animals there. After school, one of my chores was to go down to the barn and bed the animals down for the night. And what I did is I would throw straw down from our straw mow and break it up into loose straw, and then I would go around and I would put it underneath the cows at nighttime so that they would be nice and comfortable and warm at night. And the one thing I remember about that the most, other than the fact it was a chore and who wants to do what you have to do, but I look back and I remember it was so peaceful at nighttime. After all the animals had been bed down and they'd had their grain and their hay, and it was just such a calm, peaceful, I'm going to use the word transcendent feeling in that barn. You'd walk in and it was so quiet. And that's why I got thinking, if God wanted to choose a time and a place to send Jesus into the world that was probably the most peaceful time that could be, it would be in the evening in a stable when all the animals had been fed and they were getting ready to go to sleep. Because I remember just what that felt like. So that is why I believe that there were animals at the stable. In any case, the nativity that they put up in Rome has animals at the stable. But I want to point out that ours doesn't. If you look outside, the one that Steve Stevenson created a number of years ago does not have animals, I think because he's a spiritual visionary. But not on the same level as the Pope for sure. But so thank you very much for coming this morning. Does this look like a happy sheep?
Yep.
Is it smiling? That's what's called a sheepish grin. Pastor Kim will lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for sending us Jesus in the perfect way, and we thank you that he can show us how to live, and he can teach us to laugh and spread your love. Help us to prepare for Christmas by giving to others and spreading your great joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who shall appear at the dawning of the morn to calm our fears and our hearts may be reborn? Who shall appear in the starlight of the night to bring such hope? Shall appear that the hungry may be fed,
May we pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we enter a holy season, the season of Advent. Advent represents a time of waiting and preparation. It comes from the Latin meaning to draw near, to come toward, to approach. This is the time when we remember and celebrate that God came near us as a baby and as an adult of Jesus, and to celebrate that he comes near to us this day and in the days to come. We also anticipate when all of creation will be reborn. When Christ comes in final victory, everything will be made whole. So we start with prophecy. This morning's scripture from Jeremiah begins with the prophecy of the coming Messiah when Jeremiah was living about 600 years before Jesus was born. During this time, the Israelites were still living around the place of Israel, the northern kingdom. If you'll remember, after David, they were split up into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom had already been destroyed, and the southern kingdom was living under threat of war from Babylon, and later, during his time, they would be besieged by those same Babylonians. So the Israelites knew struggle. They longed for home, for familiar traditions, and for the days that they would be released from what the prophets described as punishment for their sins. They needed a word of hope. In their darkest moments, the promises of God probably seemed as if they would never come. Did they anticipate that God would make those promises come true even in their very midst? Prophecy gives us hope for today and hope for the future. God's promises come true right here, right now, and in the tomorrows to come. So do we anticipate that God will make God's promises come true in our very midst? What do you hope for this season? What will Advent, Christmas, and the year to come bring for you? Maybe we have surface hope for the year. And then we might have those deeper longings, maybe some so deep we aren't willing to name them, or we acknowledge that they won't come true. As Christians, we live as a people of hope. And today we celebrate that we are on a journey of hope. In early times, Christianity was also called the way. The road or the path that we follow. We are on a pathway of hope. So what is this hope which we celebrate today? What do we cherish and desire and trust will come true? The members of Christ's kingdom, each of us, will not only call Jesus the Lord is our righteousness, but each of us, imperfect people that we are declared righteous. Our Christian hope is that God's righteousness not only came in the person of Jesus Christ, but we too are agents of righteousness and holiness in the world. We are being made into disciples and then making disciples ourselves so that together God can transform the world through us. Holiness in us, holiness through us, justice everywhere. we place our hope in a God who is not like Santa Claus that gives us cool toys or answers our prayers like a to-do list being checked off, but a God who gives us hope in the presence and person of God. We trust that God comes to bless us and save us. Hope, then, is staring at the stark darkness all around you and knowing that the light is to come. Remember that first Easter morning? Can you imagine that glimmer of hope that Peter and the other disciple felt as they raced each other to the tomb? They had heard that Jesus was alive, resurrected from the dead, that the presence was back. We take this journey of life with hope, no matter what happens, because no matter what happens, God is always with us. We also take this journey of hope because we trust that the Prince of Peace will come and bring justice to the entire world, will right all the wrongs that continually happen. The poor will be lifted up so that everyone has enough to survive and thrive. Finally, all creation will stop its groaning and sing creation's song. Everyone will be welcome at the table. But what about now? Jesus has already come once, so we are not looking for the promised Messiah in the same way that the hearers of the prophet Jeremiah were. And we don't know when Jesus is coming back again. It could be tomorrow. It could be 2,000 years from now or 2 billion years from now. So what do we do in this waiting time? As Christians, we are inspired by Christ's unrelenting pursuit of justice when he lived among us, and we are given hope and joy by his declaration that we are righteous in his sight. So we then strive to bring about righteousness in our communities. So what can we do as individuals and as a church today to bring about Christ's promised justice? How can we fulfill that hope? The people of the southern kingdom were besieged. We might not live in a place where there is physical captivity, but what besieges you or our neighbors today? How can we enable everyone to be freed to serve God's perfect will? Ernesto Ceroli said, "I go and become a servant of the local people, a servant of the local people who have dreams of becoming better people. We become friends and discover what that person wants to do." So how can we bring a word of hope or an ear of hope to those around us? As Christians, we are to let Jesus into our hands and our feet so that we can be God's agent of justice and righteousness in the world. In these days of ever-increasing darkness, we are God's light. God is here with us, not just outside of us or only in our religious institutions, but in our very being. We have a personal relationship with God. We are God's light. So in what ways can we light this light in our lives and this candle of hope in our darkness and darkening world? This Advent, as we wait and watch for the coming of Christ in our very midst again, may we pray that God will open our eyes where Christ is coming today and where Christ can work through us to shine the light of hope and justice to our world. Amen. proclaiming that we are going to see the King, and may God's peace rest upon you, always and everywhere. Amen.
This has been The Way of Hope with Pastor Kim Farrell, originally broadcast December 2nd, 2012. Hope is reborn in the season of Advent, hope for today, and hope for the future. What do you hope for? How can we bring hope to a world divided in so many ways?
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.